escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie. But since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
You know what? I might switch gears a little bit, and why don't we just call this segment an audio dump? I want to play a couple of audio clips that we have acquired throughout the course of the show and play them for you now and give them a little bit of context. And let's start with Jeff Allen. He was on the show earlier today. You guys remember Jeff Allen? He was basically Josh Simmons. He was a high Big Ten draft pick by the Kansas City Chiefs. He still very much keeps up with the team, has been following the team through training camp. He could not have given more praise to Josh Simmons than he did when he joined us on the show earlier today.
Trent Williams, without a doubt. And the biggest thing that makes him comparable to Trent is the efficiency of his movement. Trent is a really freak athlete. So is Josh. But they make it look so easy. I'm telling you, being able to get out of your stance and meet a defensive end at that spot or that injunction between the quarterback and yourself, it's not easy to do. That's why you see guys get beat off the edge. They can turn that corner. But with Josh and Trent, you never have to worry about them getting beat around the corner. So you're either going to have to run through him. You're not going to be able to go underneath him because he's in the perfect position every single time.
I want to read to you the accomplishments of Trent Williams. Trent Williams has made first team All-Pro three separate times in his career. He's been a second team All-Pro once. He has made the Pro Bowl 11 times in his career. I believe that Trent Williams will be the 2020 all-decade left tackle whenever they make that list. I believe that's what he will be. I think Trent Williams is the best left tackle of his era, of his generation. If you are telling me that Josh Simmons has Trent Williams-like ability, I don't think you can give a player much bigger praise than that. He also said in this interview, Rob didn't cut it, but I'll just share with you the information. He believes that if Josh Simmons would have been healthy and finished out his career at Ohio State, he believes that he would have been a top five pick. Guess who also was a top five pick offensive lineman? Trent Williams. Back in 2010, he was the fourth overall pick to Washington. The hype for Josh Simmons is something that we haven't seen in quite some time. This isn't how people talked about Eric Fisher, and he was the number one overall pick in a draft class that turned out to be pretty good. Lane Johnson was in that draft class. He's also going to the Hall of Fame. So I just wanted to play that for you to kind of let you know, if you have not been keeping up with Chiefs training camp and you're somebody that you'll wait till they play preseason games, you'll wait till they actually start for real, that you're not super caught up on football practice yet, and I get it. I just want you to know what people are saying about the Chiefs' first-round pick. They are comparing him to Trent Williams and thinks that he has that level of athleticism. If that's the case, it is by far and away the best value that you can pick up in this draft class. If you were telling me the Chiefs got, even if he doesn't turn out to be Trent Williams, I'd say that's best case scenario. Even if he turns out to be a very good left tackle that makes 5 Pro Bowls in his career. If you do a redraft, that player is then one of the 5 best players in that draft class. There will not be 5 players that are more valuable if that's what he turns out to be. That's why you got to take those chances. That's why you got to trust your medical staff. That's why you have to be aggressive and assertive in the NFL draft. If you're the Chiefs and you're picking at the back half, if you really need something, they've needed a left tackle now for 6-7 seasons. It would appear that they have their answer. Now, I also want to keep in mind that they're going at half speed and they haven't gone up against somebody who's not a teammate yet, but I'm not here to throw water on anybody's fire. It's really hard to be a rookie starting left tackle in the National Football League. There's not that many that can do it. To adjust to the speed and physicality of it, it's really, really difficult to do. The Chiefs believe that he can do it. Now, I know last year they also believed a rookie could do it. I don't think they're sitting Josh Simmons down 100 snaps into his NFL career and giving up on the idea the way that they did with Kingsley Suamataia. They gave up on that idea in the middle of game 2 and have never entertained the possibility of going back. That's not what we're talking about here. That's number one thing I want to play for you guys. Number two thing I want to play for you guys. Now, you know that we've had a little bit of fun over the years making fun of Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson has an alias. His alias is Mr. Unlimited. Yeah. He was asked today at Giants camp if he regrets calling himself Mr. Unlimited. Yeah. Here's what he said.
If you could go back in time and not hit post on Mr. Unlimited video, would you do it?
I think I have an alter ego. His name's Mr. Unlimited. Yeah, you gotta be unlimited.
I would still do it, man. I got kids that unlimited. You know,
oh, I got it in person. You know,
yeah,
I got an unlimited.
You know, like, come on. But you know, we're having fun.
How about a 3-2-1 unlimited for the three of us?
Sure.
Right? 3-2-1 unlimited.
Russell Wilson says that he enjoys being the superhero of Mr. Unlimited. This has been a summer of comebacks for superheroes. We got a new Mission Impossible movie this year. Ethan Hunt, he's a superhero. Superman, an actual superhero. Fantastic Four. This is how I know Rob, he ain't really dedicated to this Marvel. Back in the day, Rob would have seen Fantastic Four a month ago. He still hasn't seen it. Rob gave up on the Marvel Universe. We got to find the new Marvel expert. We might be looking for one. 913-586-7965. When a Marvel movie comes out, it doesn't make sense to get the thoughts on it if the people who are supposed to see the movie don't see the movie. Rob's out. I don't know if it was that. What was that? Seven Rings or whatever movie. I don't know what it was. At some point, the mutants, or I don't know the names of the movies. At one point, Rob was out. And going to see Marvel movies became when I get to it. That's not how it was back in the day. He was camping out. He would have been the one getting those $70 things of popcorn I'm seeing on the internet. Not this Rob anymore. That's what marriage does. Marriage changes you. This is the summer of comebacks for superheroes. And the biggest superhero comeback, the most important superhero comeback, it's Russell Wilson, man. But no, it's not just Russell Wilson. It's Mr. Unlimited. Yeah. That's most important.
I can't believe he doubled down.
Hey, you thought Russell was going to say, yeah, I regret being corny?
Hey, any regrets? This is a perfect time to do it. Yeah, I regret my time in Denver. It didn't work out. And now I'm trying to, refine myself. That's what quarterbacks who have bad years say all the time. But him be like, nah, I love when kids yell at me unlimited. What do we do? Russell, you are about 6 games away from being benched by Jackson Dart, whose snap count is this. So you know what? Maybe say you regret it.
Someone on the text line says, Carrington, what you're saying makes sense because Rob's a bandwagon KU fan too. Good point. I mean, you're right. He was Team Marvel when things were good. Oh, back in the day. Rob, you probably saw Endgame. You probably saw the midnight showing, didn't you?
I did see the first showing of Endgame.
Of course you did. Of course, that's when it was cool to be a Marvel fan. You were wearing graphic tees. I ain't seen you wear a Marvel graphic tee in 4 years. You still haven't seen Fantastic Four. Turn your shield in, B.
I did see that terrible Captain America movie.
Eternia, that's when you were out.
No, I was. Eternals really broke my spirit.
That's when you were out.
Eternals hurt me physically.
That's when they were out. You said they had the gall to make Captain America black. Can't do it. That's what you told me. That's what you said.
Don't be saying things that are going to get me canceled. Don't be doing that.
That's what you told me. Marvel was woke. That's what you told me. You said you can't do anymore. You've been out ever since. Let's move on here. This is an audio dump. I'm just playing audio that we've accumulated over the day, and we're giving it to you all in one segment. We talked about this a couple of days ago. I don't care. I want to talk about it again.
For the fifth time since it opened last month, a roller coaster at Cedar Point got stuck, leaving riders stranded. It happened again over the weekend. The Siren's Curse roller coaster stopped at the top of its 160-foot tall lift hill. Riders forced to walk down the tracks. Thankfully, everyone got down safely. The park says problems with the coaster's safety system are to blame.
Yeah, I'm sure. That thing shut down 5 times in a month. Y'all can have it. I saw a video earlier today. There was a roller coaster that is snapped in half in the middle of the ride. Y'all got it, man. Oh, man, you too scared to get up there. Yes, I am. Next question. Oh, man, be tough, man. I don't want to be. I don't want to go upside down. That doesn't sound like a fun activity to me. How does that sound fun to me? How does going up 140 feet in the air and just plunging down, how does that sound fun to anybody? Doesn't sound like an exciting time to me. I like down here. I like the ground. Crazy. I've got more audio that I want to play for you guys. This was Ben Higgins. He was on the show. The Royals made a trade earlier today, if you missed it. The Royals have two new pitchers on their team. They have Steven Kolek, and they also have Ryan Burgert. He thinks that Ryan Burgert has top-of-the-rotation stuff.
Kolek can be the other guy, Steven Kolek, in the trade. He can be a back-of-the-rotation guy. I think right now, yeah, Burgert's probably a four. But I think, you know, as he develops and gets a little bit more mature, that he could get up to like a three or a two type guy. But I thought a Burgert for mean trade made a lot of sense. I think the Royals are doing well to get two starting pitchers in a market where, you know, starting pitching is so valuable. Not guys that you're hoping make it to the big leagues, but guys who have already pitched well on the big league level. So you have a confidence level that you're not just buying a lottery ticket. You're actually getting players that you can put in your rotation now. I think the Royals did really well in this trade.
I think the Royals did really well in this trade too. I want to spend more time coming up talking about the trade deadline and the moves that the Royals made, but I would have to agree. I think the Royals have had a good trade deadline. Has it been great? But I think it has been very solid. If you have a 25-year-old pitcher that you think could possibly have top of the rotation stuff, you get a 28-year-old player who you can throw into the mix in the bullpen and maybe turn out to be something for you, and what you give up is a 30-year-old backup catcher when you already feel like you have the 2027 starting catcher in your organization. It's hard to say that this is not a good, solid day for the Kansas City Royals. Coming up on the other side, we'll keep the baseball conversation going. We're also going to be joined by Jacob Milham with Kings of Kauffman. The Major League Baseball trade deadline is right around the corner. Keep it right here on 96.5 The Fan.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. Catch Hall of Famer Denny Matthews every Monday at 3.
And gone, Bobby Witt.
On your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by StreetEasy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021, and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's read a couple of the texts that we have in. Carrington, do you think that the Freddie Fremien trade has any indication that the Royals are going to pick up Salvi's option for next year? I mean, I would have been stunned, legitimately stunned, if the Royals' plan was not to pick up Salvador Perez's option. He is having another good season, and I mean, next year, I mean, they've gotten through the expensive part of the contract. Next year, it is a club option for Salvador Perez at $13.5 million. He's making $20 million this season. I mean, I'll take Salvador Perez, but cheaper next year, especially when you as an organization feel like you have your bridge to who your 2027 catcher is going to be in Carter Jensen. Now, the real question, and we obviously got some time to get to this, is did you know that Salvi is an unrestricted free agent at age 37? So the Royals only have another season and 2 months under contract of Salvador Perez. And then at 37, we got to start asking ourselves, is next year the final season for Salvador Perez? And will the Royals bring Salvi back? Now, I imagine they would bring him back. I think it would kind of be like what they did with Zach Greinke at the end. Hey, we'll sign you to a one-year deal, sort of with an understanding that this is your last year in Major League Baseball. So again, we got some time until we have that conversation. But I mean, if their plan wasn't to bring back Salvador Perez on next year on the $13 million, then they should have been talking about trading him at the end of the year. Hey, you're going to be a free agent at the end of the year anyway. We're not bringing back your option. I think the plan is for Salvi to be back. So yeah, I think you're picking up the $13.5 million for Salvador Perez. I think you're happy to get him at that number as well. Someone else texted in and said, we got two good young arms for a 30-year-old backup catcher. This was a nice job by JJ. It also solidifies the possible trading of Bubich in the offseason as well as the promotion of Carter Jensen by opening day. I'm not 100% that Jensen's going to be here by opening day, but obviously we got time to figure that out. Let's see how his season ends. Let's see how next year goes in spring training. He certainly will be given every opportunity, I think, to make the team. Now, the Bubich point, I think, is a very interesting one. Them continuing to stockpile arms is not the worst thing that can happen to give themselves options. The Royals are at a little bit of a crossroad about how they are going to fix their major problem. There are only, I would say, two ways to fix their major problem this offseason. You either need to spend the money in free agency, but if you listen to anybody that talks about what the free agency market looks like this offseason, they don't sound super optimistic about what is potentially available to pick up. And if there's not a whole lot of bats and everybody is looking for a guy that can hit 20 home runs and drive in 90 runs, I'm assuming that that price is going to be a little bit outside of the Royals' price range. Then the only way, realistically, to see that the Royals are going to pick up the impact bat that they need is to trade something of value. Now, you got something good for Freddie Fremien. I don't want to make it seem like they didn't. But, I mean, you weren't getting a power-hitting corner outfielder for Freddie Fremien. You got what you got. You got one 25-year-old who has shown great promise early on and is a top prospect in a good organization's farm system. And you got a 28-year-old lottery ticket, and you'll see what you can get out of that scenario. They need someone that moves the needle. That's what they need. The Royals need to make a move this offseason that on December 2nd, we stop talking about the football team and talk about them. That's the kind of move that they make. Because I think the Royals can win their division in 2026. They certainly have the pitching to do it next year. The Royals are going to have the rotation and the bullpen that they will be in a position to make the postseason next year. It really just comes down to, I mean, this will be the second consecutive offseason if everybody knows what their problem is. They don't have enough offense. Are they going to spend the money to go get an impact bat? And I'm not talking Jonathan India. I mean, they need a Kendrys Morales. They need one of those kind of guys, a guy that you can plug in the middle of the lineup. That guy hit 23 home runs and have 87 RBIs with a 260 average and a 325 on base percentage. That's what they need this offseason. And how do they go about acquiring that player?
And I think, I don't know that it solidifies, to the texter's point, that Chris Bubich is gone. But now you have set yourself up where if you are trading Chris Bubich, you can still survive that. Now, this idea is based on a lot, for me at least, of what Ben Higgins, who's on the show earlier today, he covers the Padres in San Diego, said. He talked about how the pitcher the Royals added, it's Burgert, could be a number two or number three starter in Major League Baseball. You have Cole Reagans, who we presume will be healthy next season. You have Burgert, who again, a person who covers the Padres, says he could be a two or three starter in the league. You still have Waka under contract. You have nothing but contractual control over Noah Cameron. You can always find Michael Lorenzen types in free agency. They had another pitcher today in Stephen Kolick, who could be a reliever, could be a starter, kind of a fringe guy. Like, it is a good problem to have where you're saying you can trade Bubich. You also could start to get rid of the other prospects in your system. Like, you could trade a Blake Mitchell who's at high A. You could trade a Ben Kuderna who's at double A. You can start to do those things, but it is never going to be a negative in my mind. The Royals have too much pitching. We might be in April, May of next year and saying, man, the Royals have no offense still. That's rough. If they have good pitching, you always give yourself a chance, and that is smart gameplay by J.J. Piccolo. And maybe, I know Hunter Renfroe didn't work out. If they sign a Hunter Renfroe type, but it works out, you feel better about the offense in one move. Maybe Jack Caglione starts living up to his hype, his, you know, what people think he could be. You feel better about the offense. Like, I agree the offense is still problem A this offseason and still problem A today.
I think it's problem A, problem B, and problem C.
I also don't think that you – I don't think you need to – have only five starters. You can make a small move in the offseason to fix problem A and still have such a strength there that you're okay.
Yeah, I guess why I look at it as such a significant problem, and obviously you look at it as being a significant problem as well. I mean, if you were telling me offensively that you were in the same category and same conversation as the Rockies and the Pirates offensively, you have a problem. Like, there's no other way to put it. You have a problem offensively if those are the teams that you are around. They are 28th in offense. They have scored five more runs than the Rockies have this season. And the Pirates and the Rockies are two awful, awful, awful teams. And like the Royals are, they are significantly off of what average is offensively. So the Royals this season, they have scored 393 runs. The average is 475. Like, they're not close to league average in terms of runs scored. So this offseason, I don't think the expectation is that how do the Royals get to be top 10 offensively. I don't think that that's realistic. I mean, they're 100 runs off of being top 10 offensively. It is how do we get in this 14 to 17 range. If the Royals were 14 to 17th, they'd be in the postseason comfortably. In the postseason, if that was the case, this team would not be having some of the conversations that we're having. Someone on the text line says, when did the conversation start with trading Chris Bubich? I think the conversation started with Chris Bubich when we saw that they weren't trading Seth Lugo. When you saw that they weren't trading Seth Lugo, I think the natural conversation then shifted to, well, then who are you going to trade? They're not trading Reagans. They're not trading Lugo. And just very simple, what do the Royals have in terms of resources that could get you back something that you desperately need? You're not trading Bobby Witt Jr. You're not trading Vinny Pasquantino. You're not trading Jack Caglione. You're not trading Carter Jensen. Like, I can give you a whole bunch of list of players they are not trading to go get this thing. So if you are going to trade somebody, who are the people that make sense? And Chris Bubich, who all-star this year, but an injury history, he seems to be a, I don't know if his value will ever be higher than it is this offseason. Now, keeping him's not the worst thing in the world, but I know we've had this conversation with Royals players in the past. If you were telling me that you want to cash out on Chris Bubich, there will never be a better time than this December. He just made the All-Star team. He's 28 years old. This thing can go very left with Chris Bubich. It can go right too, but we have seen plenty of guys who they put it together for 1 year, they show you the promise, and then their bodies fall apart. Like, we're at the cusp of either one of those stories with him. So I think that's where the conversation started with Chris Bubich is. The Royals need something. Like, you were going to the store. If you don't have a whole lot of money, you better have something to trade in. And that's one of the pieces that they have to possibly trade in.
I also would say, we're using Bubich as a placeholder here. The answer could be Noah Cameron. The answer could be Michael Wacha. Like, someone is getting moved. Or, you know, John Sherman is going to open his wallet like we haven't seen in Kansas City since pre-David. I don't know. Like, if he's going to spend big on a free agent, then fantastic. You get to keep the pitching and you get the bat. But I have a hunch, similar to last year with Singer, one of these starting pitchers is going to be somewhere else come December, and the Royals are going to bring a bat back. And we're going to have conversations about, well, maybe they have, what do they do with Cags now? What do they do with Grichuk now? What do they do with player X now? And that's a good problem to have, is to have too many good players.
No, for sure. And a lot of people are making the point over the course of the season, yeah, but they've been above league average since the All-Star break, so the offense is capable, no question. It's been 2 weeks of games. It's been 2 weeks. I'm not telling you not to take anything from the last 2 weeks, but I mean, since the All-Star break, that's July 18th. I mean, the baseball season started on March 27th. So again, I'm not saying don't take anything from since the All-Star break, but I think you can understand why you would be naturally skeptical about the 28th ranked offense putting it together for 2 weeks. I mean, this stretch just got them out of last place. At one point, the Royals were in last in runs scored in the month of July. They were dead last. Every team has scored more runs than they had. So I need more than just a 12-game sample of the Royals offense to believe, hey, they're capable. Because I can give you a 90-game sample of they need something. They need a spark. And at the deadline, that necessarily wasn't the time to get that spark, and I'm perfectly fine with that. Now, as we're looking toward the offseason, how can you kind of shake this thing up to give yourself a chance to do something meaningful? And I'm not talking about grabbing the last wild card spot. How do the Royals get from what they were a season ago, and being an 86-win team to being a 91-win team and really having a chance to make some noise? They got to make a significant move to improve their offense, in my opinion. Let's go to the phone lines right now to be joined by a friend of the show, Jacob Milham. He is with Kings of Kauffman. Let's get his thoughts on the Royals as the deadline is rapidly approaching. Jake, how you doing, my man?
I'm doing all right. I keep on sitting over here refreshing Twitter. I have so many tabs open, I'm pretty sure my computer's about to close. So thankfully it has a break while I'm here to talk to you, C-Dot.
Absolutely, man. Happy to have you on the show today. Let's get your reaction to, I guess let's start from the beginning. I thought they were trading Seth Lugo. I think a lot of people believe that they were going to trade Seth Lugo. They made the decision to extend him. What's your reaction?
I was on the podcast about 2 weeks ago, and I gave it a 98% chance that Seth Lugo would not be under contract with the Kansas City Royals after this season, even if they held on to him. I didn't think they were going to be able to retain him, but lo and behold, I thought like that was a big move. It makes sense with this team saying, hey, we're still in 2025, but we don't want to mortgage our chances in 2026 either. So I think this was a smart move. It's a gamble on an aging veteran pitcher, but I mean, he's had a historic run with the Royals so far, so you reward him for that. You hope that he can at least continue being that middle of the rotation guy. If he's anything more than that, then shoot, that's just icing on the cake.
My thought process with the move is I'm perfectly fine with them deciding to keep Seth Lugo. I'm perfectly fine with the contract, perfectly fine with the extension. But as we are looking for the future, and I think a lot of the moves that the Royals have made at the deadline have been 2026 moves. What you expect to get from Ryan Berger, we'll talk more about him, Stephen Kolek, Seth Lugo for next year. I mean, this organization has two choices to add the offense this offseason. You either are willing to trade one of your starters or high prospects to go find that player, or you got to spend money in free agency. Everybody is saying this is not a great free agency year if you are looking for that impact bat. So then that leaves you with the eventually you got to trade one of these guys to get something that you desperately need.
Yeah, and this was, well, I know we'll talk about the Freddie trade here in a second, but like that was trading, like that was a trade that I would have not been shocked to see in the off season coming up. But it's free, they say it's a bad free agency class. Well, frankly, you can go back and look at the free agency bats from this past off season, and not a lot of those high dollar guys have lived up to those contracts, whether it be injuries, poor production, or just a mixture of the two. And when you have a guy like Tommy Pham looking like the best free agent acquisition from this past offseason, I mean, come on, what are we doing here? So it is, I don't think anyone can look into the crystal ball and say, this is how the Royals are going to get better with either a trade or with free agency. Right now, this is, I'm sure that those phones are ringing, texts are being sent out, things like that. I think that a lot of these trades that we're going to see announced in the next 30 minutes are going to be trades of opportunity, if you will. There's going to be that rental that the team is just like, hey, we got to get something for this guy. Just take him off our hands. Or there's going to be that general manager who turns to his friends and says, hey, this is the guy. We got to go get him right now. And I'm not looking forward to what the Royals are doing in 2026 yet, because I know you don't believe in the 12-game sample, but through my rose-colored glasses, I'm hoping that they can keep it up what they've been doing over the past dozen games.
Yeah, I mean, this next 10 games is going to tell you everything you need to know about the Royals. Like, they play maybe the best team in the American League in Toronto. They play a team that is directly ahead of them in Boston. I mean, we've been kind of using the term tread water. You and I have had numerous conversations over the course of this season. The time for them to tread water is not this week. You can be eliminated in these next 10 games if you play poorly or you get swept by Toronto and then lose a series to the Boston Red Sox. So right now, I agree with you. The Royals have a chance. They don't have a great chance. The percentage is around 13%, but they are not completely out of it. You can keep yourself in it by a good week and really give yourself a chance for a really exciting August or September, or you can eliminate yourself here in the next 10 days.
Right, and we talk about the next 10 games. Well, what gives you the best chance to win across the next 10 games? And that is adding more talent at the trade deadline. We're still seeing some deals being made. I feel like we're kind of in a lull right now when it comes to compared to the rest of the day. Earlier on this afternoon was really just deals coming in one after another. Right now, slowed down a little bit. So I don't know if we're going to see one last wave around this like the hour sandwiching the trade deadline, if you will. So starting in about 10 minutes and then going on about 15 or 30 minutes after the trade deadline, because Royals fans, I do want to remind y'all, think back to the 2023 trade deadline. And I remember I was reacting really poorly to that one because there hadn't been any announced trades. And then after the trade deadline passed, like three or four deals were announced. So just be patient, try to hold out and hope the Royals have done something more.
Jacob, give me a player other than Hunter Harvey that you could see being traded in the next 30 minutes.
With this, I hate to say it, with the going rate of relievers right now, I mean, Carlos Estevez. I know he's your closer, and it doesn't make much sense to trade your closer when you're trying to go in the wild card race. But that's the guy who he's under control through 2026. You have Lucas Ursek, Hunter Harvey back in, not in tip top shape, but in strong shape. And now you get two other pitchers who can either join the rotation or be relievers. Both of them have experience with it. So if the Royals are getting a blow away offer with the Estevez, I think you have to take it and see what happens.
Right now, we're talking to Jacob Milham. He is with Kings of Kauffman, just getting his thoughts as we are less than 30 minutes away from the Major League Baseball trade deadline closing. All right, let's talk about the players that the Royals actually received. They got Ryan Burgert. He sounds like he's the crown jewel of this deal. Tell us a little bit more about him.
Yeah, so it is 25-year-old. He's a top 10 prospect according to MLB Pipeline in the Padres system, and for good reason. He has some really good swing and miss stuff. He is still in his rookie year, so whether it be nerves or just getting some of the rust busted off after he started off the year as a single inning guy, and then he got sent back down to Triple A, came back and joined the rotation. So he's still really early as a starter. He only has 7 starts under his belt, but I mean, as you say, stuff is king right now, and this kid has stuff. It's very fun to watch him. You go back and you look at his last 2 outings. He has performed very well against the NL's best lineups. He held the Mets to 1 run. He had 7 strikeouts against the Phillies earlier on this month. Like, those are, you can look at ERA and WHIP and things like that, but if you want a guy who can come in and give you competitive starts every 5 games, well, what have they done against the game's best? Have they melted or have they stood up to the challenge? And so far he has in his young career, and I think there's a lot that this Royals pitching coaching staff can work with. There are clear avenues to addressing some of his problems, and I want to say that is why the Royals were more apt to deal Freddie Freeman to the San Diego Padres.
We had a guest on the show earlier. He thinks that Burgert's ceiling is him being a 2 or a 3. Do you agree with that? Do you see that as his ceiling?
I see that as his ceiling, yes. I think his floor is a multi-inning bulk relief sort of guy. But I do trust he's going to settle in the middle of that. I think he is going to be a very good 4 or 5 rotation. And when you look at how much control he has, how cheap he is, well, that is going to make the Royals investing in Seth Lugo and Michael Wacha and some other bats down the line, that's going to make it a little bit more prudent, if you will. So I expect him to be a bottom of the rotation guy. But if everything goes right, he's going to be a 2 or 3 guy in this rotation.
The other player they got was Stephen Kolick. I don't want to say that he was a throw-in in the trade, but he's certainly not the crown jewel. The other guy's 25 and in his first year as a major leaguer. How do you see Kolick kind of fitting into what the Royals have?
So it's Kolick. He was meh as a reliever last year. He appeared in 47 games for the Padres. He wasn't a huge help in that bullpen, but he's been a starter all of this year. He's got 14 starts to his name. I think he's a perfectly fine pitcher. Like, he's not going to be dominant. I think if you want to look at a comp for what he would bring to the Royals, a good case scenario is a Michael Lorenzen type. Right now, I expect both of these guys to slot in immediately to the rotation as appropriate. You look at the 26-man roster right now, and the Royals only have 3 healthy starters. You add these 2 pitchers, you get back to a full 5-man rotation. And once Michael Lorenzen's ready to come back, or if Cole Reagans is ready to come back at all this year, you figure it out from there. I think Kolick would be the one to get pushed back into the bullpen. So I don't want to describe him as a throw-in. Like, he's going to help the Royals, but I just don't think he has quite the same ceiling as Burgert.
Jacob, really quickly here, how would you grade this trade? It seems like a win-win for both sides.
It really does, and I have to give it a B+ from the Royals side of the house. All in all, if you look at it on paper, I love Freddie. He has brought a lot to this team. He's brought a lot of smiles and great energy to this team. Right now, he is in the midst of his worst batting season of his career, and you know, the Padres sent 2 solid pitchers in return for a 30-year-old backup catcher having a down year at the plate. And whenever you can flip that sort of player into guys who fill in holes right now in a postseason push, I think that's a great deal, and you do that deal.
That is Jacob Milham joining us on the show. Be sure to check out Kings of Kauffman for all your Royals information. We are about 20 minutes away from the Major League Baseball trade deadline. Jacob, great stuff, man. Appreciate your time.
Thank you, C-Dot. Have a good one.
Absolutely. That's Jacob Milham joining us on the show. Coming up at the top of the hour, we will get you updated on everything that is happening locally. Coming up, today is day 1 of the NFL season. We'll talk about it. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by
DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck?
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
When New Yorkers buy a place with StreetEasy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Remember, Mike's got this. The Drive. First to breaking news in Kansas City.
The Royals are out here just making all of the moves. The Royals, they have acquired left-hander Bailey Falter. He plays for the Pittsburgh Pirates. Sources tell ESPN we do not know what the Royals have given up to acquire Bailey Falter. When I know, you will know. All I know is that they have added Bailey Falter to the team. Let me tell you a little bit more about Bailey Falter. He has played for two teams, now on his third team. He started his career back in 2021 for the Philadelphia Phillies. He has played for the Pirates for the last 3 years. This season, he has made 22 starts. He is 7-5. He has a 3.73 ERA. He has pitched in 113 innings so far this season. He has 70 strikeouts, 39 walks. Seems to be a pretty capable pitcher. So that is who they have just acquired with Bailey Falter. He is a left-handed pitcher that they have acquired from Pittsburgh. To me, this just seems like more depth. I think their depth has really gotten tested over the last month or so, where they had to let Rich Hill get multiple starts. So I think the Royals are trying to put themselves in a position where, I mean, they've gone out and they've got a 25-year-old in Ryan Burgert. They got a 28-year-old in Stephen Kolek. You then go out and get another 28-year-old in Bailey Falter. Now, varying degrees of experience. Burgert is in his first year in Major League Baseball. Kolek is in his second year. And Falter, he is a 6-year veteran. So various stages. Burgert is certainly he's the biggest prospect out of them, is maybe the way that I want to phrase that. But you're looking at these moves that they've made. To me, these just seem like depth moves. Their depth has seriously been tested when it comes to starting pitching. Hey, we need guys that we can trust to go out there and start for us, and that is what Bailey Falter is.
I will say this. I Googled this real quick.
I'm going to Google up his contract, too.
That's what I was about to say.
Okay.
Bailey Falter is under club control through 2028.
You know they love a good club control. Who doesn't?
The Royals have added a ton of club control pitchers. Like, and I also seen
got to give yourself options.
The names are not known yet, but Andy Rogers is reporting that two prospects will be heading back to Pittsburgh.
That's not a big deal, though.
We will, once we get the names of the prospects.
I just saw that, yeah.
But that's now, I mean, of the three pitchers, two of them are under heavy club control. Like, I'm not saying it's a bad thing to have this much starting pitching, but in the next, I guess we'll still get news leak out past 5 p.m. Central Time when the deadline passes. is there something big on the horizon? Because I know
you think there's something big on the horizon. I would say nothing they've done over the last 3 days would lead me to believe something big is happening with the Royals. I think it's obvious what they're looking for.
It's a bat move happening is a better way to say that. Because they now have what? Let's just like eyeball their rotation. Burger and Falter are presumably about to go into the rotation.
I don't think that Kolek is going into the rotation.
I don't think Kolek is. Now we got two. We got Noah Cameron. Michael Wacha is currently healthy. Like, you got four. Seth Lugo, that's your five.
Yeah, that's your five-man rotation right
there.
You're
about to get Reagan's back. You're about to get Lorenzen back.
You know, I don't think that Reagan's is coming back this year.
That's fair. That can answer the question.
I don't think so. They might tell you that he is coming back. I do not think that Cole Reagan's pitches again for the Royals. If they're already shutting down Chris Bubich, what would then be the argument of bringing Reagan's back to pitch in September? Now, maybe the Royals are really in it in September. That's certainly a possibility, and Reagan's can go, but by the time Reagan's comes off the IL or whatever they're calling the list now, he then gives you two rehab starts. We're talking about early September. Maybe Cole Reagan's is coming back under that scenario if they're still in it. I don't think Reagan's is coming back this year. So I think I would say that these moves are telling you he's not coming back this year. We need an abundance of arms. They got three guys today that can start for them tomorrow if they need to, where they don't have to go get Dallas Keuchel. They don't have to go get Rich Hill to come back. They are good for the rest of the season if Reagan's comes back or doesn't come back. That's what I would say these surplus of moves are. But just honestly, to go pick up a bat that you think moves the needle, what would they, like, who is that guy? What would they have to give up? I mean, look at what they've, I mean, Berger's a little bit different. Berger's a 25-year-old. He was a top 10 prospect for them. Bailey Falter, he was a below average pitcher on the Pirates earlier this week.
By the way, we do know how the prospects now. It's Royals prospect left-handed pitcher Evan Sisk, who I believe had a chance to make the roster out of spring training, and then Callan Moss, well, the two players. It's not like they got rid of Carter Jensen for Bailey Falter. It's two prospects who you don't really know.
No, for sure. These are the kind of moves that I would expect the Royals to make. I don't think these moves are bad at all. If you got 3 years of club control over a guy who has made a decent amount of starts in his career, I mean, you'll take that if you're the Royals. Like, let me look it up again here with Bailey Falter. Let me get off the page when it comes to the money. I mean, Bailey Falter has made 81 starts in his career. Like, 81 starts. He's been a guy that he's going to give you innings. Right now, they don't have a lot of those guys just due to the injuries that they've had. He's going to eat up some innings for you. Last year, he pitched 142. So far, he's at 113. He's made 22 starts. I imagine he pitches at some point on this road trip for the Royals. So if you get a handful of innings from him, I think you feel really good about it. I mean, this does not come – it should not be a shock a day after they win a game in which they had to use eight different pitchers. They don't have a lot of arms right now, certainly not guys that you think can eat up some innings. So the next day, while, hey, this is our last chance to go make these moves, you go pick up three guys that you think can eat innings for you and start down the stretch for you as your depth and attrition has been tested a little bit. This is in line with what I think makes sense for the Royals.
I do think now – I think earlier I was open to the idea, but now I'm 100% here. They are trading a starting pitcher this offseason. That's how they're going to get their bat. Because they now have, like, if you fast forward the clock and it's December, Falter club control, Burger club control, Cole Reagan's they just extended, Chris Bubich going into the final year of his contract, Noah Cameron club control, Michael Wacha, Seth Lugo they just extended. Like, and I didn't even mention Kolek. This to me makes it 100%. At some point, whether it be, I don't think it's going to be today, at some point this offseason, a pitcher is getting moved for a hitter. That it just is too obvious at this point. That is going to happen for the Royals.
Yeah, I guess I'm not as interested in, like, a hitter. Like, what version of hitter are we talking about? Are we talking about getting someone that can hit sixth for them or getting Randall Grichuk? Like, I'm hungry. Are we going to get ramen noodles or are we sitting down and having a meal? Like, both are food, sure. One, I'm going to be pretty hungry again soon and be in this exact same situation of where I'm figuring out where my next meal is going to come from. So that's what I would just ask the Royals of what if we all know what their issue is. They need to go get a bat. So are we interested in going to get another Randall Grichuk bat who can be a fourth, fifth outfielder if something goes wrong? Or are we looking to have someone who can play left field every single day for them in 2026 and be a day one starter for them? That's really what they need. They didn't go get that around the trade deadline. I presume they're not getting it. That's just not really the energy that they've had during the deadline. Let's see what happens. But I'm with you. I mean, it does feel like they have just added a bunch of arms. I also think this is important to note. I'm not here to be negative on the day that they make these moves. All three of these guys are not working out for the Royals. That's just not the way that trades work. You know what I mean? Like, one of these guys ends up we never really speak of again, or we get to see one of them and that guy doesn't live up to the expectations. Like, this does have, who were the guys they got from the Padres a couple of years ago?
Brandon Maurer. Who was the other one?
Yeah, Brandon Maurer was one. I can't remember
Brandon,
the other one.
Yeah, the other. Brandon Maurer was bad. I remember that.
For sure. Now, I'm not saying these guys will be bad, but, I mean, you also got to take as many swings as you can. Maybe you hit on Burgert, Kolek is okay, and Falter just ends up being another guy that you have, and he's just kind of that piece. But these are not bad moves for the Royals. These are fine moves for the Royals that I think help you in the short term for what you need right now, which you just need more arms, more guys that can eat up innings for you. And having club control for 26, 27, and 28 on all three of these guys is definitely the position that you want to be in and gives you the flexibility to do just about whatever you want. Coming up on the other side, we'll continue talking about this. The Royals are making moves. They have acquired three pitchers over the show. They have acquired Ryan Burgert, Stephen Kolek, and they just traded for Bailey Falter. He started for the Pittsburgh Pirates earlier this season. They have made three moves in the last 3 hours. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.